hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and you know, we got a lot of stuff to cover on today's show. One being that we're about to announce our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explore Ventures, where you can join us for a week of diving in some exotic Caribbean location. Details coming up on today's show, so stick around for that. Also, just a little program note. Next week, we will be broadcasting from Beneath the Sea in New Jersey. This is the largest dive event in the Northeast, if not United States. I mean, pretty much you got New Jersey, Beneath the Sea, you got a scuba show in Long Beach, and these shows kind of battle it out a little bit for the biggest and best dive event of the year. I would say they're pretty much equal, but it is a huge event in New Jersey next weekend. We will be there doing our thing and broadcasting with the Scuba Cowboy, having our mermaids on display, giving away all kinds of cool stuff, including a trip or two. So make sure you come out and say hi. We got a few little tchotchkes for everybody and a few little surprises for everyone up there as well. And why are we pulling out all the stops for Beneath the Sea? Well, because it also happens to coincide with Scuba Radio's 17th year anniversary. So our 17th year on the air will be celebrated in the Big Apple in the New Jersey area, that we're with all our friends from Beneath the Sea. So come on out and, I don't know, we'll see if we can scrounge up a birthday cake or something and have some fun. So we got a lot of stuff to look forward to, but a lot of stuff to cover on today's show. All right. So to kick off today's event, we have our buddy Pete from Scuba Board to help me kick off the festivities. Pete, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing better. You know, I'm actually on the mend, and you know, I was talking about this a little bit last week, you know, I felt like crap. I had this skin cancer thing, just real mild stuff, but you know, I had three places I had to have you know, cut off. You know, you have to go to the dermatologist, do this nonsense, and sure enough, I go there. And I have these done. I've had them done for years now. It's just a pain in the butt. Put on your sunscreen. Wear your reef safe.
They were on your butt?
What? Say that again?
They were on your butt? You said they were painting your butt.
Well, they were painting my butt. Actually, they were painting the back, because one was on my back, and it got infected. And so next thing you know, last Saturday when I did the show, I barely made it through the radio show. Thanks to Bill, the producer, we got through it. We had a fun show as usual, and everything was fine. But I'm going to tell you, I did not feel good. And sure enough, right after that, I started going downhill quick. Finally, they got me on antibiotics on Monday, and I started feeling human again on Wednesday. So, you know, all's my, you know, learn from my mistakes. First of all, just put on the sunscreen. Don't put yourself in this situation in the first place. And secondly, God forbid if you have any kind of surgery or cut or anything when you're out on the dive boat. This is the second time I've had a problem with this. I hope this isn't a trend. You hear what I'm saying?
I do. And you know, might I add, I started wearing a hat when I dive.
Wearing a hat when you dive? Like, I don't know, one of these Scooby-Doo rags things? No,
an actual brim hat. It's called the surf hat. It's got a little clasp that goes underneath your chin. And it stays on during the whole dive. When I come up from the dive, especially if I got a long surface interval to, or wait on the water while the boat comes to get me,
yeah,
I don't burn.
Well, there you go. So, you know, when you see Pete or Net Doc there from Scuba Board diving, he does kind of look like he's on a safari more than he does look like he's on a dive. Is that a fair assessment there, Pete?
That's a fair assessment.
He's down there taming lions or something.
Lionfish.
Well, lion there you go. Fish. Of course. I mean, you got to dress the part. Hey, and, yeah, what?
About the guy who was hunting lionfish in the Caribbean this last week?
Well, you know, I didn't hear about it, but you made me aware of a little post there at Scuba Board, and I saw this video. You know, and I've actually done some of this stuff. I just came back from doing this with Simon and Dominica, and we cleaned up whole reef from lionfish. No, they don't have them. They, you know, there's a theory in Dominica that we talked about, Derek Perryman, who passed away a couple of years ago, but had a goofy theory that all the islands that, I don't know, grow bananas and export bananas don't have sharks. And Dominica's one of them, evidently, and they don't have a shark. I mean, I've never been to Dominica and seen a shark. It's weird. But it, you know, and I keep asking them every time I go, what's the deal? And, well, Derek had this thing of this theory about the bananas, and hey, I have no reason to, you know, think that it's any reason to question it. It's always held up on our end.
There's no way. Bonaire has no bananas, and they have no sharks.
What? Who has no sharks?
Bonaire.
Bonaire. Well,
I haven't even seen a nurse shark in Bonaire, and I've been there twice with, you know, probably. I don't know how many dives between the 2 weeks.
And you never saw any sharks in Bonaire?
Not a one.
Hmm. Well, maybe this banana theory is as goofy as it sounds. I don't know.
I was wearing a banana hammock.
Maybe it was. Maybe that's just for Dominica. You know, once again, it was one of those theories that he just kind of said, well, hey, I got one. It's good as any. And, you know, we have no reason to question it. So that's what they went with. But anyway, you know, when we were getting ready to do our lionfish derby there on a couple of obscure reefs off of Dominica, you know, that was my first question to Simon, because I'm not a big spearfisher myself. And I know when you spearfish, you're asking for potential issues with sharks if they're in the area. And I've seen it. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of it myself. And I'm like, okay, I don't really want to put myself in that situation. So I asked him. He goes, oh, we don't have sharks. And I'm like, yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I've never seen any here. And sure enough, we went there, cleaned up the reef. We had, I don't know, we got like 28 lionfish between me and the scuba cowboy.
Wow.
Yeah, on one dive. And did not see one shark. We didn't see any other, you know, fish that even approached us as far as being interested in our catch. You know, eels or nothing. I mean, eels, I think, are probably a more potential problem than anything for them, or barracuda. But we didn't see any of those either. So, you know,
well,
I guess you just got to be
eels,
aware.
I love sharks.
Yeah, exactly. Love to see. Well, we saw some, but we didn't see any that had any interest in what we were doing or coming after our tube of lionfish as well. But regardless, this video is a different situation. This guy had loaded up his tube with lionfish, I guess. We don't know where it is, though, right?
It says somewhere in the Caribbean on March 13th. Huh. This year.
Okay, well, unlucky 13, that's his first red flag.
Well, especially when the 13th, Friday the 13th, falls on a Saturday, like I think it did this year.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, I don't know. Just 13's just not lucky. But anyway, so he gets down there, he starts to spear another lionfish and get ready to get it in his tube, and all of a sudden this little, I don't know, looks like a Caribbean reef or something, right?
Yeah, blacktip reef shark.
And it comes out of nowhere and it's like, hey, give me that. You know, and he was obviously, you know, the shark was obviously in the vicinity, came in and spooked this guy pretty good. Now, and next thing you know, he's kind of fending off the shark. And I guess he eventually, I couldn't tell from the video when he dropped his tube, because obviously that's what the shark wanted. He sensed that there were dead fish in something this guy was carrying, and started coming after him a little bit. So it's an interesting video. But drills home the point that you have to be aware of your surroundings and what you're doing, right?
And I'm going to disagree with you just a tad, okay? I bet one of those fish in his little tube wasn't dead and was making those little thrumming noises, because it's, you know, I'm a spear fisherman.
Yeah.
I love the spear fish. I always watch out for Mr. Sharky. He rules the ocean, not me. But I tell you, the first thing you do when you spear a fish is to make sure it's dead. Blood's not nearly as attractive to the shark as the vibration, especially that death vibration.
True. You know, a live speared fish or a recently speared fish that's twitching like that, that is 10 times more scary to be around when there are sharks in the water. I've been on shark dives where they do that or where that has happened. And I'm telling you what, man, the attitude of the sharks in the water are totally different. Now, the other element here, it looked like from this video, I don't know if this is true, but I didn't see any other diver with them. So it looked like he had a GoPro mounted to his mask or something that he got his perspective. But maybe a buddy team doing this lionfish roundup type stuff might have been a good plan for him as well. You know, you keep an eye on the surroundings. If something comes out of nowhere and spooks you, you got your buddy to, you know, put those eyeballs on the back of your head. All right, more coming up with Pete from Scuba Board next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
The dive pros at the DEMA show know, and now you do too. Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering a DEMA dive show getaway. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $1063. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and book your DEMA dive getaway to Dominica now. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
Light and Motion, leading the industry in high-powered LED lighting and underwater video systems year after year.
Light and Motion,
consistently ranking at the top of the innovative technology spectrum.
Light and Motion,
100% built in the USA in a historic warehouse on Cannery Row since 1989.
Light and Motion.
Tomorrow's technology today.
Light and Motion.
Look for the name the pros trust in a dive center near you.
Light and Motion.
On the web at lightandmotion.com.
Pete from Scuba Board on Scuba Radio with us right now. We are talking about this lionfish video of this diver who ended up having to fight off a black tip reef shark after he'd speared a lionfish, which a lot of divers are doing now, me included. I love it. But you do got to be aware of what's in the area, and sharks, you know, if they see a potential free meal, you know, they're going to come and investigate it. And, you know, some are, can be a little bit more aggressive than others, and this one definitely, he wasn't a big shark, that was what was interesting too, but he was definitely feisty.
This was a funny video, and I don't care how you put it, and you know, you're talking earlier about the buddy not being present, and we know that for a fact because we never heard him laugh during the sequence. I've been laughing my butt off if I had my buddy. I mean, it was just truly funny. The shark was not after him. If he had been, I think he'd have been bit. But he was after those fish. He was after the end of the spear. I mean, he was focused like a razor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he did. It was interesting. He was going after his pole spear, the end tip of it, which is he's probably, you know, there might be some residual fish guts on there that the shark is zeroed in on. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say.
That's the last place he saw the lionfish. You know, where'd he go?
Well, yeah. Well, exactly. Where'd he go? Bacon.
You make like you're going to throw it one time. The dog runs. They look back. Oh, what the hell? And then, you know, the next time you do that, the dog says, "I'm not falling for that again."
That's right. You know, it is funny that, you know, that's really how it looks, isn't it?
It's a dog. It's a dog playing with his master trying to get that treat.
Right, but you could look at it another way, and you know, way the video is presented in certain senses with some of the captions. I mean, it looks like menacing, like the shark is coming in to attack them, and you could take that spin like, oh, see, there are sharks that are out there to eat us, and then, you know, it really depends on your perspective of what they're trying to do, you know. So, you know, was the shark angry? Who knows?
Sharks just want to have fun.
Exactly. You know, the bottom line is you got to be aware of your surroundings when you're doing this this lionfish derby stuff, you know, when you're trying to clear the lionfish off the reef, with which everybody should be doing if they're so inclined. And
it's a lot. It's not just sharks, Greg. It's also jewfish and any other predator fish around, because, you know, it's not just the sharks that come out. And there's some great videos on YouTube of jewfish coming up and swallowing huge fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's just something you got to be aware of, and it can be a lot of fun, but you have to be careful, you know, especially when you're dealing with animals that got teeth and they might accidentally miss the lionfish or do something crazy, and it just don't know, like play a little too rough, you know. But you know, buddy diving I think would help with that as well. But the bottom line really is just being aware of it, don't you think?
I agree, and you know, the buddy might have seen the shark coming in. And it's happened to me when I've been spearfishing. I had someone push my spear aside as this big jewfish was coming by, and I'm glad he did. You don't want to have a bigger fight than you're intending to have.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, if it's funny, too, on the spearfishing side of things, you know, there's two rules of thought with spearfishers when it comes to their catch. You know, whether it's a diver that's lion fishing and doing this type of thing, but just a spearfisher in general, I've heard this argument many, many times before, is that, you know, a lot of them believe that if you, you know, spear a fish, say you get a hogfish and bull sharks show up, say you're down in South Florida and this scenario happens, you never give your catch to the shark, because then the shark realizes that, hey, if I just go and approach this diver, he's going to give me the fish. And so they end up fighting the shark off.
The operative word there is give, though. Once the shark has that fish in his mouth, your decision-making time is over. Trying to fight the shark for the fish, I think, is kind of stupid.
Yeah, well, and that's the argument, is like, where is that line? At what point do you go, okay, go ahead and take it, I'm not even going to bother, or are you going to sit there and try to fight the shark off? And then, you know, you get these reports like, oh, yeah, we got these aggressive sharks, and they come and they attack me. And I'm like, what? You know, you're fighting the shark off. I mean, give him, oh, no, I can't give him the fish. Then he'll come back and want a fish from me next time. Like, you know what? That is part of the problem with spearfishing in general. And I have no issue with it myself, as long as you understand this is the risk you are assuming on your own. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and it's true. Again, if I have a shark in the water with me and I've got fish that I'm dragging, I'm going to put me between the fish and the shark, because if my spear point is a lot sharper than that little triangle thing that guy had, and Mr. Sharky will soon leave me alone. However, once Mr. Sharky has the fish, the fight's done. He's got it. It's, you know, you've made the mistake, whatever. He snuck up on you. I don't care what it is. But at that point, I let him have his way. I'm going to go away safe and with all my digits in place.
Yes, exactly. And I would say that's how most people would react, whether they'd admit it or not. Because I've heard spearfishers say before, like, oh, those people that do that, they shouldn't be spearfishing. That's making it worse for everybody else when they do that, because now the shark is going to, you know, think that every time he sees a spearfishing pole, they're going to get a free meal. And now I got to fight harder to keep them away from me. And, you know, I'm like, look, you know what? I don't care one way or another, but that's human nature to protect yourself. And I don't know how you could hold somebody responsible for that, you know, saving their skin. With the, you know, the thing is, though, if you're spearfishing and you have sharks in the area, you have a potential problem. So you take that risk upon yourself is my feeling on it. It's an assumed risk. If you want to spearfish, you might have to deal with sharks, and they might get aggressive on you. It's nature. That's the way it is. You know, I don't know. But, you know, the reason I'm so adamant about it is because I get mad, you know, from years ago, from all the shark feeding nonsense we had to deal with, when the spearfishers started lashing out at these dive operators saying, you're making it worse for us. And I was like, what do you mean they're making it worse for you? They're doing a shark dive with a frozen piece of dead fish, and the sharks are coming in gingerly to come and take this fish in kind of a scavenger type mode. And yet when you're out spearfishing, you're spearing a live fish, they come in and dart in and accidentally bite somebody because they're all riled up because they got all these dead fish that are you know, recently dead or still jerking around. And they act totally different.
They do. And you know what? The most important thing is protect yourself, keep yourself out of danger. And secondly, follow the local laws. Did you hear about the guys who have a problem on West Palm?
Yes, I did. And we are definitely going to. Yeah, we're going to talk about this because that's where we're leading with all this stuff. They're finally, after, I don't know, 10 years, they've charged a couple dive operators in Palm Beach with feeding sharks. Now, we'll get into this next and explain how this might affect you in a good or bad way as a diver. Stay close. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Pete from Scuba Board on the line with me right now. We're talking about the story from Palm Beach. I guess after all the years of all that shark feeding nonsense we talked about years ago, and they finally charged a couple dive operators with feeding sharks. Now, what did you hear exactly, Pete?
Well, the FWC communication was what I heard. And essentially, they charged four people. They named the boat. I'm not going to do that. I'll let them worry about it. I mean, this is their legal problem, not my problem. But the thing that they did is that they actually sent officers undercover, or should we say underwater officers, to actually film them feeding in state waters. You can't feed anything in state water, whether it's a mammal, fish, or a shark. You can't feed any underwater wildlife in state waters.
Yeah, well, with the intention of business or something, I think, too. Isn't there some kind of caveat there? I don't know.
Probably, because you can chum, which is pretty much feeding.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. The law was so ambiguous. There's ways dive operators have gotten around it a little bit, and it's never created any problems. Shark attacks haven't went up. They haven't went down. They pretty much remain the same. And this situation here is basically someone went on the dive and said, hey, they were doing this and I didn't like it. And they called the FWC, and the FWC launched this sting and caught them. And you know, the thing that annoyed me about it the most was the official from the FWC is like, well, this is a public safety issue and we're trying to make our water safe for all divers. Safe from what? You know, the only one who has any issue about getting bit is the guy who was feeding the shark, if you ask me. But regardless, yeah, the law is the law, and they'll have to deal with it accordingly.
Yeah.
And we'll see where the dust settles on that. But anyway, we'll keep up to date on the issue, see if it rears its ugly head again here in Florida. Hopefully this was just an isolated incident, and everybody can adjust and move on and not cry, shark! Again, well, we don't want to go through that.
Shark, because we don't see enough of them.
That's true. We don't see enough shark. That's why we have our shark dives. Maybe we just need to do them a little differently. All right. Thanks, Pete. All right. Coming up next, we have a Dan Good Diving safety tip. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 486. It is not advisable to tip your dive boat crew in sand dollars. They frown on that. Besides, the sand currency went belly up decades ago.
The sand people are easily startled, but they'll soon be back, and in greater numbers.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What's on tap today, Nick?
Well, hey, Greg, I thought today we'd talk a little bit about risk assessment.
Sounds risky.
Wow. Really?
I couldn't help it. What would you like us to know about risk assessment?
Actually, it's not so much what I want you to know as much as what I want you to ask.
Ask?
Yep. There are certain questions you should be asking yourself before every dive. Because if you don't have definitive, appropriate answers for each and every one of them, you shouldn't be getting in the water.
Tell you what, you ask the questions and I'll guess why they're important.
Turning the tables, huh?
I like to keep you on your toes.
Game on. The first question you should always ask yourself, am I feeling up for this dive?
It's important to be mentally and physically capable of completing the planned dive. If you have any doubt about your health on any given day, don't do it.
That's right. Next.
See?
Do you have the training to complete this dive?
Training teaches what you need to know, and knowledge keeps you safe. Diving without proper training is like driving with your eyes closed. You might get lucky if you make it, but you don't really know what you're doing.
You got it.
Yep.
Next. Do I have everything I need to make this dive?
Lacking the appropriate gear for a dive is like driving a car with three wheels. It doesn't work.
An interesting image, but exactly right.
See?
How about, is my gear in proper working order for this dive?
Gear should be cared for properly and serviced at regular intervals to ensure it remains in reliable working order. Failing to do so is like driving a car whose wheels are taped on. They stay together, but it's risky.
What is it with you and these car analogies?
I like them. Don't you?
They're great. I just didn't know you were such a car guy.
I am a man of mystery.
That's one word to describe it.
What's another?
Let's stay focused. Here's another one. Are there any natural circumstances that indicate the dive should not take place?
Storm warnings, strong currents, excessive wind, temperature, and other weather-related factors can and do interfere with dive safety.
Yes, and here's another one. Am I familiar with the site I'll be diving?
Do your research so you know the facts necessary to plan the dive properly. If it's your first time on the site, make sure you've checked with local guides for information, or better yet, take a local guide with you. Not doing all you can to familiarize yourself with a new dive site would be like driving in a new town without a map.
You're back to the driving, eh?
Car guy.
Next question. Have I fully considered the risks this dive presents? Have I prepared emergency plans in the event of a problem?
Always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Are my buddy and I in agreement on all aspects of the dive in terms of preparation, communication, and planning?
Talk to your buddy about every aspect of the dive before you get in the water. It's a lot easier to discuss it above the surface than below.
Have I considered all the details, including the small ones like hydration during surface intervals and sunscreen?
Sometimes the day is made in the details. Ignoring them would be like setting off on a road trip without remembering to put gas in the tank.
And you were doing so well.
Admit it, you like them. Come on.
I do, and I'm impressed with your answers. And not just because of your dedication to one analogy, but because you demonstrated why each question is an important one to ask yourself before each and every dive.
And I did it with brilliant analogies. Want to grab some dinner?
Sure, but I'm driving, car guy.
Okay. Risk assessment is something every diver must do before each and every dive. It's a key step to ensuring you're ready to make that dive. And if any of the answers leave you in doubt, don't do it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
On the line with me right now is my good friend Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine. Jerry, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Greg. I'm good. I'm constantly fascinated by how you track me down when I'm in different places around the world, and somehow you reach out and always find me.
Well, he always has a phone with him. Jerry Beatty's never far from a cell phone or satellite phone or some way to communicate. And that's why it is fun checking in with Jerry to find out where he is in the world today. And today we find you down in the Keys. Am I right?
You are right. I'm in Key West. I'm at Dive Key West, as a matter of fact. I'm right here at their store. They're doing some awesome stuff. They got some marine sanctuary dives going. They got red dives at night. They're doing the Vandenberg almost daily. I mean, these nice. People are rocking down here.
There you go. We'll say hi to Bob and Cece down there. They run a fine operation down there in Key West.
That they
sure.
do.
Yeah. Now, Jerry, I wanted to talk to you about a couple things that are on the radar. We've already brought this up on the show, but these guys who got busted for feeding sharks off of Palm Beach, Jupiter area. What do you know about this, or what are your thoughts on these guys?
Well, you know, I just got the news release this morning, and it struck me as, you know, I might want to do an IQ test on these guys because they had lots of options there not to get in trouble, but it seems like they didn't take any of them.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you know, the one thing we didn't talk about before is that, you know, whether you agree with shark feeds or shark dives or whatever or not, the Florida rule is you got to be outside of state water. So it's 3 miles off the coast of Florida. So they could have been able to do what they were doing legally if they would have just gone off 3 miles offshore. But I guess they weren't. And that's how they got caught.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too, Greg. And, you know, the controversy about feeding is going to go on forever.
Yes.
We don't have a complete science workup on it, but we're starting to have a lot of experience. I mean, Stewart Coves in Nassau, Bahamas does shark feeds daily.
Right.
They are yet to have one person, other than a feeder, get bit.
That's right.
And after thousands and thousands and thousands of dives, you start to think, this may be okay.
Well, you know, the thing is, when you look at the data, and this is the part that really kind of bugs me when people bring up these issues of, well, we don't feed bears, we don't feed alligators because they associate humans with food, and the same thing would happen with the sharks. And you know, I said, no, it doesn't. I say, we got shark dives all around the world, and we've been over this argument many, many times before, but you have this real data of places like Stewart Coves where they have shark feeds a couple times a week or almost every day, depending on where you are in the world. And people swim through these same dive areas, snorkeling, diving when there's no feeds, and the sharks don't seem to eat them. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's this association that they always think, well, if you feed the animals, they're going to come at you and eat you. They may come and check you out. They may lose a little of their fear of humans and say, hey, is that diver that's not on a shark feed, you know, have any food for me today? Well, let me leave it alone. Nope, he doesn't have any. Okay, see you, buddy. You know, and that's
well,
it, right?
There is definite evidence that the sharks may be more curious when they see humans in the
right.
water.
And that would
there
be understandable.
There is no evidence that they bite them.
Right. You know, they see you don't have any food, they don't eat you. If you're wearing a meat necklace, or you've just speared, you know, some kind of fish because you're a spearfisher, yeah, you're going to have a problem. But you would have a problem whether it was a shark feeding area or not. That's what they do. They come for, you know, free meals if they think one's available. They're scavengers. Scavengers of the ocean. All right, so I don't know. I guess I had to go there a little bit. So we'll get that one out there. But, yeah, as far as the Florida law, which is – ridiculous, really. I mean, it did nothing. You know, shark attacks have not went up or down ever since they put this ban in place. But the reality is these guys broke the rules by, doing a hand feed and or whatever they were doing. And they've been charged. There's like a $500 fine and potentially 60 days in jail. But it'll be interesting to see if they hold anything to that high of a level. I kind of doubt it. Because like you said, when you think about it, all they would have had to do was go 3 miles offshore. They could have done the same exact thing, and it would have made no difference. But being 3 miles offshore, that would have made the divers way more safer in Jupiter. I don't think so. Because that's what the guy from the Florida Wildlife Commission says. It's a safety concern. That just drives me insane because I just don't see that. I see no connection there at all. Am I alone there, Jerry?
Well, I think you could argue that all day long.
I think in the past, for sure. But we love sharks, and that, this whole thing that, is connected to that, and that's why I defend that activity as much as I do. All right, there's other things in the diving world that we're going to delve into with Jerry Beatty. That's coming up next. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
I'm talking with Jerry Beatty, who works for, he helps run my favorite dive magazine in the entire dive industry. That's Dive Training Magazine. And he knows everybody. He's been around this industry for years. He knows how things work. He's seen every new idea come and go. And I got one for you, Jerry. I want to bounce off of you to see if you think this new idea that I came across this week will actually fly for the dive industry or help diving as a whole. Are you ready for me?
Bring it on, Greg.
Okay, so Kickstarter. Now, more and more businesses are funding their startups on that website to get some capital to fund some things. Our buddy Alberto from DiveNav has done a couple of good products with the Dive Buddy and the Nav Buddy. You can Google that and find it accordingly. But this week, there's a new one. You know, and actually, this has been happening a lot in Hollywood, but it's first time I've seen anything from a diving-influenced element come into play as far as a TV show. You know, people trying to fund some new TV show or movie. A Kickstarter, a very popular way to do so. I think that new movie, Veronica Mars, started that way, actually. They got their initial funding for the movie that was released last week from, like, a Kickstarter-type campaign or whatever. It's kind of crazy, but it's working. And so evidently somebody, a guy named JT, has just launched a Kickstarter campaign to start a comedy sitcom called Rainbow Reef, starring Ed Asner from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Yes, he's still alive and still acting and stuff, evidently, as well. Have you heard anything about this, Jerry?
I actually didn't know Ed Asner was even still around. I have to be perfectly honest. I thought after Mary Tyler Moore, he probably was ready to retire, so I'm very surprised.
Yeah, well, evidently the synopsis of this show is this guy working on Wall Street and everything goes south for him, and his uncle owns a dive operation in the Keys or someplace. And he inherits it. I probably get it all wrong, but something like he ends up taking this dive operation over, and it's, you know, the comedy hijinks of him running a dive operation and having no clue and having some evil guy like Ed Asner coming in and wanting to turn the dive shop into a gas or diesel center or something. I don't know. It's all there on Kickstarter, Rainbow Reef. But, I mean, it sounds a little outlandish, but they do have some interesting people attached to it on this Kickstarter thing. Some of the crew from Dexter is listed as being committed to this project, and a few other minor little stars that you may or may have not seen on TV. Like, I guess the main guy other than Ed Asner has been on some commercials and like, bit parts and major motion pictures and things like that. So, I don't know. They got some... They got a good pitch. The pitch ain't bad, but yeah. I don't know. Is there enough comedy in a dive store to make a comedy sitcom out of? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think just what the dive industry needs, some loser on Wall Street goes and opens a dive store. I wouldn't want that to catch on, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I that's an interesting thought as well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but he's trying to keep his dive shop alive. But the big evil corporation wants to turn it into a gas, you know, depot or something. And he's fighting to stay alive by offering good diving, I guess. But I don't know. Is there enough comedy hijinks in a dive store operation? You're down there at Dive Key West, Bob and Cece. Is it just one yuck after another or what?
No question. I mean, it's hard work, but you're yucking it up all the time. Because if you don't love this sport, you got to get out.
Well, that is true. And you know, Scuba Radio is built on all these unique characters like yourself, Captain Slate, Neil Watson, you name it. I've met a few of the more colorful characters in this industry. There's no doubt they could make up an amazing sitcom. And, you know, but I don't know. It's just... I guess I could see a reality show work like that with, like, Captain Slate. I know he was working on something for a while. It probably still is. But yep. I don't know if somebody could do a sitcom with a dive shop background, if that would be the next Seinfeld or not. But who am I to say? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Greg, let's give it a shot. Anything about diving is probably going to be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Patty is helping out with this or giving a little support and Scuba Pro and... And I guess, you know, I mean, I'll support, at least we need to make people aware of it. And if you love diving, you want to see diving combined with a sitcom comedy TV show and show up on, you know, must-see TV, well, maybe this is the beginning. We'll see. I mean, I love the fact that at least he's tying in diving into it. So, the guy who's writing this story. So he can't be all bad, right?
Well, let's hope so. I'm looking forward to seeing the pilot.
Yes. Well, you can commit, or you can, pledge money through Kickstarter. And then, of course, depending on the level of commitment you make, I guess, they're even offering up bit parts or walk-ons or whatever. Who knows? It's all there.
Well, there you go. Great. What? Start a sponsorship. Get your listeners to send in $5 a piece to sponsor you to be a bit player in the whole show.
Well, have the listeners pay my salary? No. I don't even move my butt for under $100,000. That's what I tell the lawyers. Then, of course, they hang up on me. But what are you going to do? All right, Jerry. Well, we're going to see you next week at Beneath the Sea and celebrate our 17th year anniversary on the air. You with me on that or what?
I'm there. I'm flying up.
Perfect. All right. Pick up Dive Training Magazine, best dive magazine in the world, at every dive shop across the U.S. and go to divetrainingmag.com. All right. More coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.